happens not just to individual families, but to our society as a whole when the gap between the ultra-wealthy and everyone else widens dramatically. Surveys show a large sector of Americans increasingly concerned about the effects of income inequality. Middle class and poor earners have felt more and more squeezed in the last three decades. They face the rising cost of health care and tuitions, while their incomes have grown relatively little, if at all. Meanwhile, the very wealthiest Americans have seen their nest eggs fatten in this period, with the top 1% more than doubling their share of the nation's income. Northeastern University economist Barry Bluestone.
We now know that over time there isn't that much mobility from the bottom to the top, or that much from the top to the bottom. So that if you grew up in a poor family, you were very likely to remain in a poor family. If you grew up in a rich family, some kind of fallout, something goes wrong, but most stay there. So it's not only that we have a lot of inequality in America, people get stuck, and there's very little what we call income mobility.
This feeling of being trapped has fueled widespread citizen disgruntlement at banks, credit card companies, and Wall Street. These institutions are commonly seen as instruments of a system that is rigged against average people and tilted in favor of those at the very top. That hits a nerve when the most affluent 1% of Americans possess more wealth than the bottom 90% combined. At a time of high unemployment, the perception of basic unfairness drew supporters to the Occupy Wall Street encampment in New York City starting in the late summer of 2011.
Our whole politics has been a shouting match between people who say, oh, he's socialist, he's capitalist, he's Republican, he's Democrat. I'm American. I'm an American. I want to see my country doing better. And it doesn't matter if you're the left or right. Both have lost jobs. People here don't have jobs. That's why they're out here.
The occupiers came to symbolize what has been called America's primal scream, a visceral reaction to a time of political paralysis and prolonged economic pain. And the effects of income inequality are not limited to a person's bank account.
In the United States, if you compare richest and poorest neighborhoods, you find differences in life expectancy of 16 or more years.
Richard Wilkinson, professor emeritus at the University of Nottingham Medical School in Britain.
It seems to me it's one of the biggest human rights abuses in modern societies, these health inequalities, these differences in life expectancy between rich and poor. And I think those gradients, those differences in health within populations are bigger in the more unequal societies, but it's not simply an effect of inequality on people at the bottom. It looks as if everyone is a bit healthier in more equal societies. Greater equality is of greatest benefit to people lower down the social ladder, but even at the top, there are some small benefits.
And likewise, are people at the top sicker in the more unequal societies?
Yes. 90-95% of the population are definitely healthier in more equal countries.
And that's one of the most provocative findings of The Spirit Level, a book co-authored by Richard Wilkinson and his fellow epidemiologist Kate Pickett, a professor at the University of York in England. Their premise is simple. A high level of equality makes an entire society stronger, whereas extreme inequality weakens the bonds that hold us together.
It looks as if one of the most important effects of inequality is its effect on social cohesion. And that intuition I think people have had for centuries, that inequality is divisive and socially corrosive, is profoundly true. If you look at how much people trust each other in different societies, or strength of social capital, involvement in community life, all that is weaker in more unequal societies. People have less to do with each other. And in a way, I think that effect on the social fabric, people becoming less cooperative, more out for themselves, more status competition, more status insecurity, goes all the way up society. Life becomes defined more in terms of getting ahead and where you are in relation to others.
Barry?
I think there's something in addition going on here, and that is if you think about a society in which you have relative equality, if somehow you fall out of the top, you don't fall that far into the bottom. But if you have this big gulf between the very rich on the one side and the very everybody else on the other, if you fall out of the top, you fall quite a distance. And what does that mean? It seems to me that when you have that kind of inequality, people will do a lot of very extraordinary things to stay in the top. Some of that is, you know, like Madoff and what he did to try and stay in the very top. Some of it is cutting corners wherever you can. For many people, it is just working as hard as you can to stay in the top, which has its wear and tear on you. So that where you have the greater inequality, I think people behave in ways that could have an adverse effect on their physical and mental health.
So people at the very top feel they have more to lose. They become more desperate in trying to hold on.
I think you can also see effects on of increased status competition. That, as Barry said, people work much longer hours in more unequal societies. As much as 2 months a year, the equivalent of 2 months a year longer in countries like the USA than some of the more equal countries like the Nordic countries are the best example.
An amazing test of automatic washers right here in our studio. Here's Betty Furness with the trial of the washers.
From the early days of television, the machinery of advertising developed into a marketing powerhouse. It has long driven the consumerism that feeds the U.S. economy.
Yes, tonight you're going to see a trial of four of America's leading automatic washers to see just how well they wash and rinse your clothes. These four ladies are four leading club women from the New York State and New York City Federation of Women's Clubs, and they're here to represent you, to make sure that each machine gets an absolutely fair trial.
Advertising is intentionally seductive, a force calibrated to influence what we buy. And in a culture marked by income inequality, where greater wealth implies a higher social standing, there can be a subtle pressure to consume at both the upper and lower echelons. Richard Wilkinson.
People spend a higher proportion of their income. They save less. They get into debt more. And so the indications are that people, that money becomes more important. It's how you express what you're worth. And so inequality fuels consumerism, or what people call materialism, because it is an expression of your social status.
So I can understand why people at the bottom rungs would be saving very little because they don't have much to start out with. Whereas people in the upper rungs who have more, you're saying they're spending it more kind of in some compulsive way?
I think it's very driven. I think consumerism there are interesting surveys which suggest that people regard the rest of society as consumerist, and yet they recognize themselves that there are more important things, that it'd be a good thing if we had more time for each other, for friends and family and so on.